Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So I want nothing more than COVID to go away. I want whatever variants that are circulating to just die off, just die, go away, leave us alone. I want our lives come back. But sadly, these viruses are mutating on their own. True, there may still be some entity releasing these. I'm still open to that theory, but we have a very weird, I don't want to say weird, but a concerning variant that appears to have come out of South Africa. It's going to get a name like, you know how we have Beta, of the original South African strain. It's going to probably get a Greek name. But right now we're calling it the C.1.2. And this variant is getting a lot of international attention because, one, it's already spread to Portugal, Switzerland, New Zealand, UK, China. So we have seen the variant spread, but study authors have found that it has a much higher mutation rate than previous COVID. And so when you have a virus that is mutating quicker, on one end, yeah, it might mutate weaker and go away. A lot of mutations will render a species more weak. But if a mutation sticks, well, then it'll be stronger and propagate that. So sadly, some of the mutations that the sucker already has are some of the more popular, successful mutations, like the R190S, the D215G, the N484K, the N501Y, which is one of the earlier mutations that is stuck, the H655Y, the T859N, and then on top of that, a couple genes have deleted, the Y144 deletion, the L242, A243 deletion within the spike protein. So these mutations, whether it's a additional, a translocation, a deletion of some genetic material, has allowed this sucker to be able to attach closer or easier to the ACE2 receptor in the human body and to possibly escape immune defenses. Now, study authors say that this C.1.2 has many mutations that have already been identified in previous variants of concern, like the alpha, beta, delta, gamma, and the kappa, eta, lambda. So these variants of concern and these variants of interest, this sucker is already qualifying for the mutations that classify it as being a variant that could be of concern. So it already kind of has gotten through that first door. Then variants of concern, we worry about where they are, we worry about the transmissibility, we worry about their infectivity, but if they have the mutations, that's already, unfortunately, a good start for them. And they say many of these shared mutations have been associated with improved ACE2 receptor binding. Remember I told you that N501Y is a biggie for that, or furin cleavage, or reduced neutralization activity, which has to do with it being able to get into the, for it to be able to escape immunity. So they say this provides sufficient cause for concern of continued transmission of this variant. So its mutation rate was 41.8 mutations in a single year. Now you might think, well, that many mutations, I mean, once you think of it replicates, it mutates more, it mutates quicker than that. Well, apparently compared to the other COVID, that's pretty high. And they say that that's a 1.7-fold faster than the current global rate and 1.8-fold faster than the initial estimate of SARS-CoV-2. So what's the significance of that? Well, the significance of that is if this sucker has the ability to mutate faster, if it has enough people that it infects, it could make more variants quicker. 1.7 is kind of a lot in nature. I know it's like, well, okay, 1.7, you know, is that really, you know, it's not like 100 times faster. It doesn't matter. Already, this is kind of going too fast for my speed. We got over the wild type. Then we had our winter wave. Then we had the UK wave in the spring. Now we have the Delta wave. And we're watching the Lambda. We're watching the Gamma. The Lambda came from South Africa. The Gamma, South America. I'm sorry. Lambda came from South America. Gamma came from Brazil. Beta came from South Africa. So we don't really want any more of these variants coming our way. Sadly, our shots are having a lot of conflicting information on in terms of how efficacious they are to the vaccines. Some studies I've seen have shown our vaccines are going to do just fine. But we did have a recent report that the beta strain from South Africa, the 1.351, I believe, is able to escape Pfizer's immunity that it confers. So, as long as we can keep beta at bay and away from America, I think we'll be fine because we primarily vaccinated with Pfizer and Moderna. But obviously these are concerns. I'm still waiting for the pharmaceutical companies to come up with more specific vaccines in a way where if these mutations are pretty common, like the N501, if the spike protein has been changed since early on, I think they can, you know, tweak the mRNA vaccine to make the newer spike protein mutations. I think we're due for that. I know they're working on it, but I'd really like to see a little bit more movement with that. So, you know, one scientist said, look, I think this sucker's going to be extinct by the time the reports come out. So some scientists are thinking that the C1.2 might be moot. It might not be an issue. But other people are saying, look, we're finding cases. If we haven't been searching for these cases, we don't know how many are out there. And so if a C1.2 with a higher mutation rate gets into a population, it could brew more variants. So that's why people have their panties all up in a bunch with that one. So we'll keep you guys posted. So I'd like to get rid of Delta and be done. But it doesn't look like we're done anytime soon. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
Hello, I'm a bald person. Which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not so convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival, and our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA, insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
When it comes to the tools in your garage, it's all about lithium ion. Plenty of power, maximum efficiency, and a longer life. Introducing NobleLift lithium-ion powered forklifts. All the power and efficiency you need and essentially maintenance-free. With a dramatic savings in overall cost of ownership, NobleLift forklifts pay for themselves over time, and that increases your bottom line. NobleLift, revolutionizing the material handling industry one job at a time. What's in your warehouse? Contact us today for a cost analysis at NobleLiftNA.com/save.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communication Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel, our producer. And big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So a big issue that many schools, many workplaces are having is the concept of dress codes. And if dress codes are sexist, many dress codes have been accused of being sexist and racist. There's been a lot of debate on masks and how masks could be either inappropriate or appropriate. But in the workplace, one thing that I keep hearing about, which is frustrating for a lot of employers, are how do you approach a female employee that is quote-unquote misdressing without looking sexist? When at the same time, your job is to make sure she doesn't get harassed. So there's like an elegance coach online that was telling women to not wear things revealing at work. And I mean, you would think, duh. But here's the problem. many people have been out of work for 16 months. So if they had a work crush or if they had somebody they liked at work, they have been scratching right at the door. They can't wait to get back. And then they could dress up and, you know, get all checked out and all that. And so, mind you, workplace dalliances, workplace flirtations, these things happen. They've happened, you know, since men and women work together. Trust me, it is, you know, people like to flirt. Men, women, men, women, women. It happens. We know it happens. The problem is employers are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. An employer has to make sure that their employees are not harassed, that their employees are safe, and that their employees feel safe. But then what happens if you have somebody that has wardrobe malfunctions, or, you know, their boobies show, or their skirt is too short, or they lean over a desk or table, and somebody looks up their skirt? All right. And so one thing that employers would like to do is say, all right, well, then, you know what? Just, you know, long skirts or pants, or don't wear anything revealing. Yet we hear about this in schools. Whenever a school tries to impose a, you know, keep the skirt longer than the knees, or the two finger rule from the hemline to the knee, these schools are being accused of being sexist. So, I don't really know what the answer is for employers. All I know is whenever I've been at work or I've been in a workplace, people would have me talk to the women. You know, men, dudes will talk to dudes, women will talk to women, because if it's a woman saying, come on, we could see your boobies, that's ridiculous, it's, you know, less, it's considered less caustic than a man saying, look, you know, we could see your breasts, we could see, you know, your upper thighs, that's not appropriate. The problem is you could get into a lot of trouble now. You can be accused of fat shaming. You could be accused of sexualizing somebody. This elegance coach, she comes from Europe. She wrote on her blog to not wear tight clothing. Not wear tight clothing. Tight clothing at a workplace is a no-no. Well, if you tell somebody who's wearing tight clothing that, you know, they might want to not do that because they're very, very curvy, you could get yourself in trouble. And so I'm not really sure what the answer is. I hate when I see employers stuck between a rock and a hard place. Apparently, there are people, you know, a real big fashion statement are these backless blouses and these backless dresses. I don't think backless belongs in the workplace. I think it's a distraction. I think it's, cover it up. But it's not boobies. It's not the groin. So how some people are getting around their dress code is they're covering up the front. They're covering up their, they're wearing long, maybe skirts or pants, but then they're completely backless. So, people want to dress up and they want to look sexy and they want to get the attention. I'm so glad I'm not an employer, and I'm so glad, well, I am an employer, but I'm glad I don't really have that much of an issue. This is why uniforms are coming back. School uniforms are coming back, you know, aprons, smocks, things like that. You know, as a doctor, you know, we have the white coat, so we can't really be backless, you know, and if you do have a short skirt, the white coat is strategically longer than that short skirt. So hopefully, if you have somebody that is, you know, trying to look all kind of fancy and sexy, hopefully that white coat can avoid any sort of legal, logistical disaster. I mean, as an employer, here's my thing. If people want to dress up, and if they want to look sexy, and they want to expose themselves, that's their business. But then, don't bust me as an employer when somebody says he looked at my boobies, or he's checking me out, or I feel harassed by somebody. And, you know, it's really interesting, because me growing up as a girl, And we're not doing this anymore because we're not blaming women for their assault and their harassment. But it was just ingrained by my grandma, by my mom, by my aunt to cover it up and don't look like a target. Even though you could still be a target, they didn't like me wearing short shorts. They didn't like me wearing short skirts. I was a turtleneck, jean-wearing girl throughout most of my childhood. Even in 120-degree Arizona heat, I had that turtleneck on. So, you know, and you know, we don't want to victimize people. They should be able to wear a dress if they feel it, you know, and if they want to, you know, wear proper work attire. But again, what do we do with those that are being, you know, sexualizing their wardrobe? I don't know what the answer is, because they'll be like, what? This is the dress. And that's what a lot of parents are saying with kids at school, and what a lot of people are saying. They go, I went to, you know, the department store, and these are the dresses. They're all short. And so the employer then looks like the bad guy. So I don't know what the answer is, because there's no employee policy that will protect an employer if they say, look, you wear what you want, and if it happens, it's on you. It won't protect the employer, and it won't protect the employee. This elegance coach also suggested no sleeveless clothes. Now, it's hot, but, you know, I'm old school, so in the 80s, we took a secretary course. It was a secretary course, right? And I remember them teaching us, you don't wear sleeveless. Now, yeah, I'm thinking it's hot, you know, but I guess with sleeveless, you can see the bra, you know, you can sometimes see the breasts. So, you know, with sleeveless, and so I never thought of wearing sleeveless in a workplace. You have a blazer, you have a jacket, you know, if you're at your desk and nobody's around, you can maybe take it off. But when you're walking around other sorts of offices and other departments, you get that blazer back on. So there is this kind of old school thing, like guys with their suits. They might not walk around in just a shirt and tie. When they walk from department to department, they get that jacket back on. When they're at their desk, they could take it off. Apparently, though, those things can be still considered sexist. So, you know, if you're an employer, you have to be really careful. Just having a female department head tell a woman she's inappropriately dressed can get you into trouble. What you might want to do is have human resources involved, and because there's always all these laws and all these rules, you know, always kind of put people up against the wall. But maybe you can get with human resources and say, look, we are doing everything we can to prevent harassment, and we want to make sure that nobody harasses you. And we want to make sure that you feel safe. And so to avoid, you know, somebody looking at you or somebody, you know, we are recommending that clothes be less revealing. I don't know if that'll still get you in trouble. I'm not a labor attorney. Because my guess is if somebody's wearing something revealing, it's because they want to. And they find different ways to still be revealing. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, personally, if I had an employee that was their main goal and it wasn't just doing their job, you know, I think it's very dangerous to have workplace relationships. So to me, that would be a huge red flag. If somebody doesn't understand that there's certain dress codes and there's certain, you know, certain business attire that not only protects you, but it also protects those that could be accused of harassment. And if they don't get it and they want to fight you on that, I don't really see how that, you know, that person has the goal of, look, I'm coming to my desk to work. You know, it's not about looking sexy. That's not what work is about. You know, but I don't know, it's just not easy. And as a woman, you know, I've been requested to, you know, ask to talk to people about this in multiple different settings, and it's easy. I'm like, come on, people can see up your skirt. When you sit down, it shouldn't go above the knees. So come on, you don't want people looking up your skirt. It's a distraction. But I don't know if the average employer feels like they could do that. 1-877-DOCDOLLY, don't go away.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards wants folks to be patient with Ida-related search and rescue operations. The governor is saying there are thousands using boats, helicopters, and high-water vehicles to find anyone stranded by floodwaters.
Please understand, we're going to be in life-saving mode doing search and rescue as a first order of priority.
The governor adding Louisiana got hit extremely hard by Ida.
Virtually no one has electricity in this part of our state right now. We have water systems that are out. We have tremendous damage to homes and to businesses.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby is calling the U.S. withdrawal out of Afghanistan a particularly dangerous time. His statement comes as President Biden's deadline for a full U.S. troop withdrawal looms tomorrow. This is USA Radio News. The Supreme Court in South Carolina is set to hear two lawsuits to the state's ban on mask mandates in schools. Places including the capital city of Columbia will get their cases heard tomorrow. This after state lawmakers passed a measure in June threatening districts with taking away their state money if they require masks. As the end of August approaches, President Biden's goal to fully withdraw from Afghanistan looms near. Missouri Republican Senator Jason Smith believes a withdrawal could have been handled a lot better.
The Biden administration has been completely reckless in how they've been trying to exit Afghanistan. The fact that no one from the State Department, no one from the Defense Department has either been fired or resigned is unacceptable.
That audio courtesy of Fox Business, President Biden says he does not regret his decision to withdraw from Afghanistan. USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Tuning in 1-877-DOCDALI 1-877-DOCDALI. So people like salt. I mean, salt makes food tastier. I never realized that because my mom never used salt. Our food was bland. And then I move out of the house and I have some French fries, and I see my friend add salt to the fries, and I'm like, "You're adding salt?" Because I didn't really like the fries. Like, yeah, it tastes better. And so I touched a little bit of the salt on my finger, and I was like, oh! And then I was just completely changed. was like, oh my gosh. So I found it super, super yummy, and I don't add salt, but man, my love for French fries doubled. Well, people like salt, and it's addictive. It is. Just like sugar's addictive, it's addictive. So in one science alert, they looked at what if we substitute part of table salt to cut the sodium. Because table salt is sodium chloride. But you don't necessarily have to have salt all sodium chloride. So there are salt substitutes out there, just like we have sugar substitutes. Now, I don't necessarily want people, you know, using substitutes in their diet. I'd rather you avoid salt altogether. But there is one interesting study that looks at the impact on stroke, heart disease, and death, where a giant study out of China thinks maybe what we could do is swap part of the salt, the sodium chloride, with potassium chloride, because potassium deficiency seems to sadly plague people with heart disease and stroke. Remember I told you guys that a study a few years back, it was kind of like a come to Jesus moment, and you know, we knew this, but we didn't really put it in words to realize the science. But a study had come out years ago, a few years ago, saying the reason why fruits and vegetables are so healthy and help prevent heart disease is because of the potassium. There's potassium in fruits and vegetables. And many of us have low potassium diets. We don't eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. And remember I told you that African Americans seem to have the highest levels of heart disease and stroke. And I had found that when we gave high blood pressure medication, like the water pills, hydrochlorothiazide, I would notice that African Americans, especially women, would lose their potassium. And I'm like, why am I making you lose your natural potassium? Now, mind you, there are some conditions where hyperkalemia, too much potassium, could be deadly. But for the most part, dietary potassium in, you know, in the absence of kidney disease is healthy. Why am I giving you water pills that deplete your potassium? So we would give people potassium chloride. We would supplement their potassium. So what if we swap regular table salt with potassium? So this is a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And they said salt substitutes replace part of the sodium chloride with potassium chloride. And it has been shown to lower blood pressure. But they wanted to study what would happen with stroke and death, etc. So the salt substitute and stroke study compared the effect of reduced sodium salt substitute versus regular salt on stroke, cardiovascular events, mortality, and clinical hyperkalemia. So the salt substitute and stroke study, or SSASS, was an open cluster randomized trial, not like a cluster like Afghanistan was a total cluster, that enrolled Afghanistan pullout. Enrolled participants between April 2014 and January 2015. Participants were adults with either previous stroke or age 60 years and above with poorly controlled high blood pressure. The trial was conducted in 600 villages in rural areas of 5 provinces in China. 2 counties within each province were chosen that represented the socioeconomic development level of rural counties in that province. 35 individuals were recruited from each village, and they had about 21,000 participants. They were cluster randomized according to escardio.org, and they were given either the salt substitute or continued use of regular salt. Participants in intervention villages were given free salt substitute, 75% sodium chloride, 25% potassium chloride, as a replacement for regular salt, and they were told to use it for all cooking, seasoning, and food preservation. They were also encouraged to use the salt replacement more sparingly than they previously used salt to maximize their sodium reduction. Sufficient salt substitute was provided to cover the needs of the entire household. Participants at controlled villages continued their usual habits. So the average age of the participant was about 65.4 years old. 49.5% were female. Some 72.6% had a history of stroke in the family, or had a history of stroke, and 88.4% had a history of high blood pressure. So they did a follow-up of 4.74 years. More than 3,000 people had a stroke. 4,000 died. More than 5,000 had a cardiovascular event. But they said the risk of stroke was reduced with the salt substitute compared to the regular salt. Now, they said regarding secondary outcomes like non-fatal stroke, non-fatal acute coronary syndrome, vascular death, that was also reduced with salt substitute, as was mortality. And then in terms of safety, was it safe to give people potassium? They said in regards to safety, there was no increased risk of serious adverse events attributed to clinical hyperkalemia with salt substitute compared to regular salt. So principal investigator Professor Bruce Neal of Georgia Institute for Global Health, Sydney, Australia, said this study provides clear evidence about the intervention that could be taken up very quickly at very low cost. A recent modeling done for China projected that 365,000 strokes and 461,000 premature deaths could be avoided each year in China if salt substitute was proven to be effective. They say we have now shown that it is effective, and these are the benefits for China alone. Salt substitute could be used by billions more with even greater benefits. So if you substitute, you know, part of the salt for something that has less sodium, that could work. So why is salt so bad? Well, sodium chloride is salty. And in the human body, we like to be more neutral in terms of osmosis, in terms of salt levels. And so when things are salty, you end up taking in more fluid, or maybe not even by choice, but the body does that. And so you have some people that are salt retention people, and you will hold on to more fluid. The kidneys have to work harder. The heart has to work harder. Your blood pressure goes up, which is why in the olden days we would give you diuretics to make you urinate more so you would have less fluid in your body. The problem is, I mean, if you have a high sodium diet, you're going to still take in more fluid. Some people aren't as sensitive to the sodium, which is why some people on a low salt diet, we don't see their blood pressure change much because they have other reasons for their blood pressure to spike, their angiotensin renin system, their heart rate, stiffening arteries. But having a lower salt diet causes you to keep less fluid in your tissues that could retain, that could cause blood pressure spikes. Not to mention there could be a whole variety of things that the extra sodium does. So we salt our food too much. We use too many preservatives. You know, I think, you know, for me, I don't add salt. I rarely cook with salt. Maybe once in a while I'll have some garlic salt in my food, but I don't really use a lot of salt when I cook. But when I go out to eat, I'm sure there's a ton of salt in there that I don't know about. So if restaurants could change over, if a lot of people could change over, this could work. Now, some people might say, but I don't want anything substituted. We know salt. We've studied salt. I don't know about this potassium chloride. We don't know what it could do. Well, they could study it. I mean, in 4.5 years, they didn't really see, you know, any side effects with it in terms of high potassium. What they did see is less stroke, less heart disease. So I am a fan of potassium, as long as you have healthy kidneys. So interesting stuff. Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOLLY.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Hey, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
We are back in the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So the Education Department announced that they are going to launch civil rights investigations into 5 Republican-led states that banned schools from imposing mask mandates, claiming their stance could discriminate against students with disabilities or health problems. Now, I had to read that statement twice because I thought the Civil Rights and Disabilities Act was violated by the mask mandate, because people with disability and health issues might not be able to have something on their face. But no, I didn't read that wrong. The Education Department is looking at if not forcing the mask is discriminating. Education chiefs in Iowa, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah have been told that they are under investigation. It's simply unacceptable that state leaders are putting politics over the health, they said, and education of the students they took an oath to serve, according to Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. The department will fight to protect every student's right to access in-person learning safety. The move marks, they say, an escalation in the battle between the Biden administration and Republican governors who say mask use should be a matter of personal choice. They say the investigations will examine whether vulnerable children are deterred from attending school because of the absence of COVID-19 protection strategies recommended by the CDC. In fact, more people are not going to school because they don't want the mandates. Well, that's a whole, we'll have to look at the numbers. But we've seen studies where the most effective face covering is N95 respirators. If you're going to give kids N95 respirators, that's great. But if they're putting whatever half-assed stuff on their face, those don't really work. So I don't understand why it's mandated. It should be by choice. I don't get it. National data, they say, also shows that some children with underlying medical conditions, including those with certain disabilities, are at higher risk than other children for experiencing severe illness from COVID-19. They can't be forced to wear a mask. Children with autism, children with breathing issues cannot be forced to wear a mask. Now, I wonder if what they're trying to say is that those people will not be forced to wear a mask, but non-disabled individuals will have to wear the mask to protect those that can't. But, I mean, if you're going to bring up civil rights and you're going to bring up Americans with Disabilities Act, I'm thinking you're doing that because you're forcing somebody to have something on their face. But I guess not. I guess it's to protect those that it is allowed. I always kind of get confused. You know, you think you understand the ACLU. You think you understand the Civil Rights Act. You think you understand the Americans with Disabilities Act. Biden came out saying, look, long COVID will protect the ADA. You know, ADA is going to protect long COVID. Whenever the Americans with Disabilities Act is expanded, that means employers have to make modifications. So I'm looking at that going, all right, so there we go. The employers are not going to be able to force the mask. They're going to have modifications and accommodations for people who have long COVID, trouble breathing, anxiety. But no, this is very confusing. If I was an employer, I wouldn't know what to do, so I wouldn't violate the ADA and somebody's civil rights. So you're telling me you have an African American that has asthma. They don't want to put something on their face because they're having trouble breathing, and I threaten to fire him if he doesn't put something on his mouth and nose. And that, I don't get sued for that. I get sued if I don't require him to put something on his face. This doesn't make sense to me, people. And again, if you are going to mandate masks, then give people the right mask. Give them an N95 respirator. Oh, no, those are uncomfortable. Those are uncomfortable. The kids won't like them. I thought you're doing this to protect the kids. What are you doing here? It's so inconsistent. They say, at the same time, extensive evidence supports the universal use of masks over the nose and mouth to reduce the risk of COVID-19 transmission. Yeah, one such study came out last week saying 90% of what you breathe comes out. Only 10% protection. So, yeah, you might reduce by 10%, but it still comes out the mask. So the letter spelled out that the states may be preventing schools from meeting their legal obligations to provide education to all. The states will then lose federal funding if they are found to have discriminated against students with disabilities. That's what I'm wondering. If you don't want to discriminate against a kid with disabilities, you don't force them to put something on their face. So several states, such as Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Texas, avoided the probe because they have stopped enforcing bans, either voluntarily or after legal challenges. But the Education Department says it's going to monitor those states. See, they have stopped enforcing the ban. So it's a double negative. They're not allowed to ban somebody forcing somebody to doing something. So if a state says, look, we're not going to force you. We don't want to violate your civil rights. We don't want to violate the ADA. So we're not going to force you. And we're going to, you know, we're going to make sure nobody discriminates against you for, you know, kicks you out of a class. So you have a minority child that has severe asthma that can't wear a mask and you kick that kid out of school. That's supposed to be bad. No, if you tell a school that they can't do that, you're now bad. We're now discriminatory. We're now becoming bigoted by this. But because mask and vaccine mandates are now considered okay, then it's not bigoted if you kick somebody off the bus, if you kick somebody out of the restaurant, if you kick somebody out of school. I find this very, very concerning. So, we'll see what happens. It's just, if you're an employer and you don't want to get in trouble with the Civil Rights Act or the ADA, you're going to have to really get an attorney. Because if you tell somebody they have to put something on their face when they can't breathe or they have anxiety, you're going to get in trouble under the ADA. I don't understand what people are supposed to do. And so the safest thing to do is say, you know what, we're just not going to mandate. Your choice. We're not going to force you. But apparently that's bad. The European Union is reimposing travel restrictions on U.S. tourists as COVID cases rise. U.S. was removed from EU's safe list of nations for non-essential travel, along with Kosovo, Israel, Montenegro, Lebanon, North Macedonia. In June, the EU recommended to its member nations to lift curbs on U.S. travelers. Threshold for being on the EU list is having not more than 75 new COVID-19 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. Last week in the U.S., they averaged 152,000 a day. Guidance is non-binding, and each nation can decide whether to allow U.S. tourists into the country. Possible restrictions could include quarantines, further testing requirements upon arrival, or even a total ban. Now, the recommendation does not apply to Britain. Britain is keeping its borders fully open to vaccinated travelers from the U.S. But the European Union has recommended that its 27 nations reinstate restrictions on American tourists. So removing the U.S., I thought we're trying not to be bigoted. You're American, we don't want you. But apparently they're worried about 15 million Americans a year visit Europe before the coronavirus. This is going to cost Europe billions. But again, they don't want the Delta variant. They don't want any of these new variants. And as the UK is starting to get a hold and recover from what it's been dealing with Delta, we're still in a full, we're still in the full thrust of it. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI.
Yes. The pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.